It's the scenario that hospitals and health systems dread, a cyber attack. Hundreds of hospitals have experienced cyber attacks that have disrupted operations, shut down systems, and affected patient care, and those attacks can be very costly. I'm Ron Southwick, lead editor of Chief Healthcare Executive. In this episode of Databook, we talk with Baxter Lee, the president of the Clearwater cybersecurity firm. He discusses the threats to health systems, the risks tied to vendors and other third parties, and how AI is changing the game in cybersecurity in both good and bad ways. He also stresses the need for health systems to focus on resilience in the wake of a cyber attack. It's a very timely discussion. Thanks for joining us. This is Databook. Thanks for joining us on Databook today. We are talking with Baxter Lee, the president of Clearwater cybersecurity firm. Baxter, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ron. It's always good to connect with you.
Yeah, good to talk to you again too. Guess there's like as we were talking right before we started. There's not much downtime in your line of work. We see a lot of hospitals and health systems that have been disrupted by cyber attacks. Is it safe to say that hospitals remain a key target for ransomware groups and cyber attack groups?
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, that continues to be the case. What we're seeing is real escalation in the market. As you know, healthcare has always been a target, but attacks seem to be more coordinated, more disruptive, and more strategic than they've ever been. In addition to hospitals, we're also seeing a larger incidence of attacks in the ambulatory specialty provider market. I think there's fragmentation in that market, and attackers are seeing the opportunity to exploit those infrastructures. So we've seen an uptick over the last several months in the outpatient market as well.
That's really troubling because obviously more care is being shifted to the outpatient arena, more in the ambulatory space. So it seems like attackers are recognizing that and seeing some potential targets.
Yes, I mean, I think it's a factor of a function of the weakest link, right? Hospitals have been investing to shore up their defenses, and the attackers are kind of scanning across the industry to see where they can have success, and we're seeing it in digital health technology companies, vendors in the ecosystem, as well as in that outpatient ambulatory market.
You mentioned vendors. Are we seeing more attacks aimed at vendors with attackers trying to use vendors to get into hospitals and health systems?
Yeah, third-party risk is probably the greatest risk to hospitals right now, given the complex nature of their environments and their increasing reliance on vendors and SaaS vendors and cloud providers. So all of those connection points and those vendors that they work with and share data with and transact with create vulnerabilities for them. So I think those vulnerabilities create excess risk for the industry as a whole. Unfortunately, I think there's a greater reliance on outsourced vendors. So those vendors become a single point of failure that can cascade across the industry. And I think the attackers have recognized that that's a way to create disruption in the industry as well at a larger scale than going after one provider. They can go through a vendor and access or impact multiple providers, if not thousands of providers at a time.
That's got to be scary for hospitals and health systems because, I mean, each hospital, especially large systems, they're dealing with scores of vendors, maybe hundreds of different vendors. So, how do they make sure that vendors are doing what they're supposed to be doing?
Yeah, it's all about visibility, right? And really understanding, who you're working with, where your data is being exchanged, what vendors you're partnering with, and really having a good risk management infrastructure to assess those vendors. Today, you have to go beyond just traditional, check the box compliance scorecards for vendors and really engage with them as a shared responsibility of risk. Between providers and their vendors, and make sure that those vendors are doing what they should be doing to protect the data and the patients that information that they're being entrusted with. And I think it takes coordination and collaboration and across the ecosystem to make sure that we're protecting the industry as a whole. And it's not just the vendor's responsibility or just the provider's responsibility, but I think everyone needs to be working together towards a raising the bar across the industry.
We saw third-party risk vividly illustrated with the Change Healthcare cyber attack 2 years ago, the most disruptive cyber attack ever in the healthcare industry in the US. Did this Change Healthcare attack change the way health systems and hospitals view cybersecurity?
I definitely think so. I think it highlighted the interdependency on vendors and the critical nature that those vendors can have within the healthcare ecosystem. So there's been a lot of discussion and increased focus on redundancy in some of your vendor relationships. I think it also highlights your resiliency plans and how you can recover in those situations. If you lose a critical vendor, how do you recover quickly? What's your backup strategy to shift to an alternative vendor or replace those capabilities in-house with backup procedures? So I think it definitely shined a bright light on that interdependency. And I think providers are putting a lot more scrutiny on the vendors that they're working with, asking more questions, being more diligent about the security posture of their vendor partners. So it's definitely putting a lot more pressure on vendors. And I think vendors, are also increasing their use of data and technology, AI and things of that nature, which puts, makes them even more critical in terms of protecting their shoring their defenses and protecting against their own vulnerabilities. So it's a complex infrastructure within healthcare that needs to be managed. And I think the industry as a whole has not really figured out third-party risk management as we continue to see, attacks and risk growing through those third-party relationships.
You mentioned that attackers are getting more sophisticated than they've ever been. Is this reflecting attackers using AI more and more and trying to penetrate systems?
Yeah, I think AI is fundamentally changing the game, right? It's lowering the barrier entry and it's increasing the scale of attacks. It's allowing, your average, hacker to be much more sophisticated than in the past. So we're seeing AI used to generate, very highly convincing phishing emails, automate reconnaissance, adapt to attacks in real time so they can navigate more stealthily through your environment. So instead of, a handful of attempts, organizations are facing thousands of highly coordinated attempts, and the sophistication of those attacks through, from the average hacker, much less the commercial hackers and or the nation states is just going up every day. I think there's a widening of asymmetry between the attackers and defenders in healthcare due to AI. And so it's not only becoming more frequent, but they're becoming more impactful. They're becoming smarter and harder to detect as a result of leveraging that technology.
I wanted to ask a little bit more about the smarter attacks, but I wanted to go back to what you were saying about the phishing emails, because a few years ago, it was pretty easy to tell the phishing email from like some prince in the third world, and there's five typos in the first sentence. You kind of had a hunch that that email might not be legitimate. I guess with AI tools now, the phishing letters are a lot more polished and maybe a little bit more persuasive.
Not only that, they're just the increase in volume and frequency, right? So, it used to be, as you noted, it was a lot easier to detect them. But it's just a sheer numbers game, right? With AI, you can generate, infinitely more simulations and emails that can go out so that it's a higher likelihood that one, that one link or that one email will get through that'll cause an exposure. So, I think it's a frequency and an effectiveness equation, and I think their AI is making it both more frequent and more effective, and which creates a greater threat to the industry.
And can you talk to us a little bit more about like how these AI tools have really helped, I guess, lower the bar of entry for some of these attackers? I mean, there's already been a few some sophisticated attackers out there, but if this is helping some of the other maybe less potent groups, if it's helping raise their game, that doesn't sound like great news for health systems.
Yeah, look, I think AI can help identify vulnerabilities and exploit those vulnerabilities more effectively and faster than humans were able to do previously, right? And so there's probably a lot of hidden vulnerabilities within software code, within cloud configurations, within network configurations. A lot of that sort of kind of got missed through physical human attempts at hacking those systems. But with AI and their ability to automate the review of those systems, those networks, that code base, it can find those weaknesses and exploit those weaknesses much faster. So I think that's the threat that AI poses.
Now, at least on the good news front, I mean, hospitals and health systems, cybersecurity firms have AI tools that they're using too to help detect attempts at penetration and also help protect systems. So is that leveling the playing field, or do attackers have the advantage?
I think it absolutely has the potential to strengthen our defenses, but there is a growing gap right now. As I mentioned, AI is widening the asymmetry between attackers and defenders. If you just think about the nature of healthcare operations and the complexity to deploy new technology, attackers can adopt AI more quickly. They don't really have the same operational compliance and governance constraints that the health hospital or healthcare organization would. That where a healthcare organization needs to be more thoughtful about how they adopt those new technologies and roll them out and implement them into their security stack and strategy. So I think AI is incredibly powerful for defenders, and it can be great at identifying anomalies, prioritizing risk, helping teams to focus on what matters. But I think it's slow to adopt, unfortunately, within healthcare. So while it has a lot of potential, we haven't seen its adoption at least keep up with the pace that the attackers are using today. And that's creating a big gap for the industry, unfortunately.
We saw the Stryker cyber attack that was got a lot of attention. An Iranian group claimed responsibility, and I know you already alluded to nation state attacks. Is this a growing risk you see in the future for the healthcare industry?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, the geopolitical environment is definitely a factor today. We're seeing nation state actors are more increasingly involved in these attacks and targeting critical infrastructure, including healthcare, to try to create disruption in our economy. The Stryker situation was unique in that it was more of a complete device wipe using Intune versus a typical encryption and extortion ransomware attack. So they had 200,000 devices that were wiped out. 50 terabytes of data was exfiltrated. So really the goal there was to create disruption, not financially motivated to recover ransom payments like you've seen in a lot of the prior attacks. So that signals a significant shift towards folks wanting to do harm and create disruption in our economy and ecosystem, versus using ransomware to fuel criminal activity and behavior and doing it for financial gains. So that unfortunately is an additive threat to our industry. Still, the economics still matter, right? Healthcare or organizations that are high pressure environments, a lot of patients are relying on these providers for care, and they know the attackers know that they can be exploited and that they will more likely pay the ransom in those situations as well.
You mentioned the financial headwinds that a lot of health systems are facing. Do you see health systems maybe ratcheting back what they're investing in terms of resources when it comes to cybersecurity? For a couple of years, we saw some pretty, steady increases in spending, but now as a lot of systems are facing some challenging financial circumstances, do you see some health systems pulling back on what they're investing when it comes to cybersecurity?
It's a fundamental challenge for healthcare. We know that hospitals, in particular, operate on very thin margins, and they've got financial pressures, reimbursement pressures, labor cost increases. So it's a difficult equation where, how do you fund cybersecurity? We did see a significant uptick in spending following the Change breach in 2024 and through 2025. I think organizations now are trying to be more thoughtful about, how do they balance their spending with what their returns they're getting. So they're looking at tool consolidation, vendor consolidation, so they can get more bang for the buck in their security spending. So it's a challenge for everyone. It's you can invest significantly in cybersecurity, and how do you do it in a way that really drives the most impact and reduces risk for the organization? And I do believe, as a whole, we're probably underinvested in healthcare, which leads to my earlier point around healthcare has been, the most targeted industry for close to a decade now, and that's because attackers are having more success in the healthcare market because our defenses aren't as strong as in other industries. So it's a difficult equation to solve for given the economic constraints that exist in the healthcare market.
And as you've mentioned, ransomware groups attack hospitals because They know there's a decent chance that hospitals will pay the ransom, and it's not an easy decision, but that also tends to fuel the problem. If you know there's a chance of getting paid, it does raise the risk of continued attacks.
That's right. Absolutely. And until, we're either able to draw a hard line and say we're not going to continue to, not going to pay and, stop the funding, which I don't see happening, we've got to figure out a better way, right? And I think again, the ecosystem needs to, really find a way to get to really understand its risk, focus on, where they can make investments to protect themselves. But it's really also not about prevention anymore. It's about response and being resilient. And so less about if and more about when something bad were to happen. How good are you at your recovery plans? Have you tested those plans? And can you recover quickly and minimize the impact of a breach? And do you have good backup strategies? If you have those things in place, you can avoid paying the ransom in a lot of cases. So if you've invested in good recovery backup plans, and you're confident in your ability to get back up and running, then you're less likely to pay as well. So that's a great area where if we were to invest more as an industry, we could reduce the amount of payments that are going to the ransom attackers. Unfortunately, we did see healthcare last year had the highest average ransom payment of any industry at $1.1 million. So clearly we're not there yet. So we have some more work to do.
And it's just very clear that, again, it's a tough spot for hospitals because on the one hand you don't really want to pay, but on the other hand you want to be able to continue to provide life-saving care to patients in your community. So it's I can see where it's a tricky spot, but on the other hand, it just heightens the risk of more attacks or even being attacked again because you've already demonstrated you're going to pay once.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think, and if you've already paid once, you're probably trying to shore up your defenses, but I think the attackers recognize that you can be exploited, and they're gonna come after you and try you again and keep testing you. So if you're not quick to respond and put protections in place, you're also susceptible to a second attack.
And getting to your point about resilience, at this point, it seems like hospitals should expect that they're going to be attacked or that they are certainly likely to be attacked. John Ritchie at the American Hospital Association said you should expect an attack at this point, and the question is not if, but when. So is that the mindset hospitals really need to have?
Absolutely. I think it really comes down to elevating cybersecurity as a strategic priority, really investing in a culture of security as an organization and making sure that everyone understands the importance from the board all the way down through the frontline workers. So I think the board needs to really be involved in setting enterprise risk as a cybersecurity risk as a strategic priority for the organization. And then making sure that there's funding and investment available to follow through with that priority. But again, to your point, not if but when, you really need to focus on resiliency. Obviously, protections are we want to protect invest in protections, but also invest in being able to recover so that you can respond quickly and minimize the impact to a potential attack.
We've seen some more smaller systems, smaller hospitals getting attacked in recent years, it seems. Are you seeing attackers targeting some of these smaller systems that probably don't have the robust defenses of larger organizations?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's definitely the case. You saw it in the case of the Mississippi Medical Hospital. We've seen it in other rural and regional hospitals. So unfortunately, they have less sophisticated infrastructure and teams in place to really invest in those preventive mechanisms. They don't have as much detection and response capabilities in place. So it's definitely a weakness in the ecosystem of healthcare. Hopefully, through some of the funding for rural healthcare that was allocated last year, will trickle through to greater cybersecurity defenses for those organizations because they have very thin margins. If not, oftentimes they're operating in the red. So again, it comes down to the weakest link. And one CIO or CISO said to me, it's not that their attackers are targeting one end of the industry more than another. It's they're really knocking on all doors. It's just which doors open more easily, right? And unfortunately, we're seeing that in the ambulatory, specialty provider market, and you're seeing that in the rural healthcare and in the smaller hospital market.
Without naming any names, just wondering, like, are there common mistakes that you see when you work with health systems that just sort of make you shake your head a little bit? Are there sort of typical areas where, with just some simple steps, hospitals could do better in terms of protecting themselves and their organizations?
Yeah, I think there's a there's a misconception around compliance and being able to demonstrate a lot of compliance and that you're doing certain things from a compliance perspective that doesn't really translate into fully effective cybersecurity, right? So we're a lot of organizations can demonstrate that they're doing risk assessments, they're doing penetration testing, they're doing different things, but how effective are those things, and where are the gaps in those assessments? And so I think compliance is a check mark oftentimes in healthcare with HIPAA security rule and other compliance standards, but it doesn't really mean that they're protected, and it really creates a gap in being proactive in terms of their cybersecurity strategy. So I think that's where we see a lot of shortcomings is, hey, organizations can say we're doing these things, but really, what are those things, and how effective are they, and are they the right things, or have they just been doing those same things over and over and over again for the past several years, and not really evolving with the evolving threat landscape to keep up with the threats that are, that are increasing in the industry?
What would you like the government to be doing to offer more help for the healthcare industry?
Yeah, I think look, government absolutely has a role to play here. We have the HIPAA security rule, right? I think there it's really been a reactive enforcement mechanism there. So I think there, if there was some way to more proactively audit or have real time, kind of measurement of how well organizations are performing risk analysis and some of the requirements that are in the rule. I think that would be helpful. There's been a lot of discussion around sort of minimum cybersecurity standards and cybersecurity performance goals, things like that. It really could help provide clarity for the industry around what are the things that they should be investing in. But in addition, just like the High Tech Act, when we wanted to, digitize the healthcare industry, we created $30 billion of incentive to get doctors and hospitals to adopt electronic medical records. I think we're at a point now where that technology adoption has outpaced the investment in security. So does the government have a role in providing funding to help these organizations now put the defenses in place to protect all this data that's now been created on the backs of this transformation that we've had over the last 20, 30 years?
And you mentioned potentially some help for rural hospitals through the rural health program that was launched last year. But there's also safety net hospitals in cities and suburbs that have very tight margins too, and they're just not going to be able to really invest the way they need to for cybersecurity.
Healthcare is a big, complex industry, right? And it's now, approaching 20% in GDP. So it's a, I mean, there's a lot there, and it's not, and it's also, evolving quite a bit. It's no longer just, providers, payers, and patients, right? There's all these intermediaries. There's value-based care companies. There's, alternative sites of care and delivery. There's technology vendors that are, now getting into, delivering care. So we need to rethink, the definitions and the terms and how we think about, healthcare and who the players are. The traditional covered entity business associate, model of HIPAA is really outdated relative to the complexity of the ecosystem today. So we really need to think about that. And then with AI, it's creating this new data layer, right? And so as we're extracting data, merging that data with commercially available data from other sources, who's responsible for that? Where, and where do the controls, who's responsible for the controls and the protection of that data, the privacy, of those patients? And so I think there's a lot of complexity that needs to be figured out that the current regulation is not taking into consideration.
You've offered a lot of great insights, I think, for hospitals and health systems. But just before we wrap up, what are some main pieces of advice or guidance you'd offer hospital and health system leaders as they look to improve their cybersecurity?
Yeah, look, I think across all of these trends that we've talked about, AI, ransomware, third-party risk, the common theme is that cyber risk and healthcare is, becoming just more interconnected, more operational. It's fundamental to everything we do. So cybersecurity needs to be a top priority for every organization that operates in healthcare. And the ones that are going to succeed are the ones that are shifting from a compliance mindset to more of a resiliency mindset and really thinking about being strategic with their cybersecurity investments and being prepared to respond when those attacks occur, not if.
When and not if, three words you don't really want to have put together when it comes to cybersecurity. But really, that seems to be, like you said earlier too, the importance of having a real resilience and recovery plan so that when something happens that you can get back up and running sooner than later. So, because the odds are that you're going to have to deal with the situation sooner than later. But
That's right.
it's okay. We've been talking with Baxter Lee, president of Clearwater Cybersecurity. Baxter, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Databook, a podcast from Chief Healthcare Executive. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For the latest news, in-depth analysis, and deeper dives on the big issues in the world of healthcare, visit chiefhealthcareexecutive.com. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and X. I'm Ron Southwick. Thanks for joining us. Take care.